I'd like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I would like for us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We began this morning looking at God being the God of all comfort. And it's a great privilege and blessing to be comforted by God. One of the names that's given to God is that He is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. While Jesus was here on this earth, He did a lot of comforting of individuals, and yet God in all ages of the world, Old and New Testaments, God has often been found comforting His people. The word comfort means to ease the grief and sorrow of someone, to console or to cheer up and to encourage. And I pray that God will help us to realize more and more how much we need to be thankful for God comforting us. The Apostle Paul understood the magnitude of God comforting him. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." Now, he is the God of all comfort that comes from God, but He is the God of all comfort, even when someone might come and comfort you. It was God that worked in and through them. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. So even comfort that comes from individuals, it came directly from God. He says, "Blessed be the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able," He tells us the reason that He's comforting us. "He comforts us that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So God comforts us so that we then can go and comfort other people with the same comfort that God has comforted us. There's so many times in our lives that we have experienced something, and God has come and has comforted us in our time of trouble. And so we have an experience and we know about God coming and comforting us in our trouble. And then there's someone else that has a similar experience, though it's different. They still have a similar experience, and you can go and comfort them like others who haven't had that experience. You can go and comfort them because you've experienced something very similar to that. And you've had God to come and comfort you. You can then go and comfort others with the same comfort wherewith you have been comforted. Scripture says in verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," that is those who have suffered for Christ's sake, "those sufferings abound in us, so our consolation," and that word consolation is the exact same word as comfort, He says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ." That is, to the same degree that you suffer for Christ's sake, in that same degree you will be comforted by God. Those who experience the greatest degree of sufferings from men, trials and tribulations and afflictions, those who experience the greatest sufferings, they are also the ones who experience the greatest comfort from God. Verse 6 says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation," or your comfort and salvation, "which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation," or comfort, "and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation," or comfort. So the Apostle Paul, 10 times in these few verses, he talks about comfort or consolation, which is the same thing as comfort. And he talks about how God comforts us, and then we are able to go and comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we have been comforted. And he also talks about the degree of comfort that you get from God depends on the degree of sufferings that you experience as a Christian. We studied primarily this morning about God comforting us. The Word of God says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We looked at the fact that the Word of God is full of words of comfort for the people of God. In fact, brethren, tonight as we begin to look at us comforting other people, I would encourage you to understand that one of the best ways that you can ever comfort anyone is not by your own words, but by rather using the Word of God to comfort them with something God has already said in His Word. It's just like a good doctor. If he knows how to diagnose problems, he should also know the right medicine that will fix that problem. The same thing is true of Christians. If we can look at someone and talk with someone and we know what their burden is, and if we know the Word of God, then we know what portion of God's Word to share with them, and they can be comforted by the Word of God, by you going and sharing the Word of God with them. So we need to be, as Christians, we need to be very familiar with the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God, and we need to be concerned about others that stand in need of comfort. But we need to go and comfort them, not with our own words so much as comforting them with the Word of God. Talk to them about what God says, about the situation that they're in. Now, Paul is writing to the saints of God at Corinth, and the Corinthians had a lot of suffering going on right here. In fact, Paul himself had much suffering going on. Paul had all kinds of trouble. He was often put in prison. Paul was beaten. Paul had all kinds of enemies within the Jews and the Gentiles. He had those that hated him in the church and those that hated him outside the church. The Apostle Paul had afflictions more than we can ever begin to comprehend. So Paul needed comforting, didn't he? Paul knew all about the need of being comforted, but he also knew the importance of him going and comforting others. And he's going to talk in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And he is talking here about the importance of comforting, us comforting one another. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. I'm going to ask you a question. Was Paul in the middle of much tribulation at the time he was writing these words? He was in the middle of all kinds of tribulation, and yet he says, I am full of joy. Now, there was something that brought him joy. There was something that caused the Apostle Paul to say, in the middle of all my tribulation, I'm full of joy. Well, it was the fact that the saints at Corinth had listened to his first letter. They had done what he had written to them about, and he was full of joy that they were obeying the Word of God. Paul was full of joy in the midst of all his affliction because he saw the saints of God at Corinth doing what would please the Lord. I think, brethren, that as parents, I think that if we are Christian parents and if we love our children, I don't think there's any greater joy that parents can have than to see their children walking in the truth. And as Christians and as churches, there ought to be no greater joy that we have than for the people of God to walk in the truth. And so it is that that's what brought joy to Paul's heart right here. That's what brought comfort to him in the midst of all of his afflictions, is that he got word that they were doing what God had told them to do through the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 5, he says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. You see the trouble he's having? He says, we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth, you see that? God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus came to Paul, and Titus brought words of truth to Paul
that caused Paul to rejoice. He says in verse 7, and not by his coming only. Well, let me just say this. Just seeing Titus, did that bring joy to Paul? Absolutely. Just him coming brought joy to Paul. Have you ever seen someone and it brought you joy? The people of God, when we see one another, when I am riding around in the community and I see one of you, it brings great joy to my soul. When I see my wife and I'm out and she's out, we're going in different directions, but when I see her, it brings great joy to my soul. We ought to rejoice in seeing one another. I think that we do. I believe with all of my heart that as we come together, there's great joy just in seeing one another. Priest and I were talking about that on the way home. We were talking about what a joy it is to see this one and that one and how much this person means to us and how much this person means to us and all the different ones. There ought to be great joy just by us coming together to be able to see one another. And the Apostle Paul says, I was made full of joy by Titus coming. But he says, I was also made full of joy by the words that he spoke to me about your obedience to the truth. Listen in verse 7. He says, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation. What does the word consolation mean? Comfort. But by the comfort or consolation wherewith he was comforted. Was Titus comforted? How was Titus comforted? Okay, by the reception of the saints at God at Corinth, but there was more than that. Why was Titus comforted? What is it the saints at Corinth had done that caused Titus to be so happy and full of joy? They had obeyed the truth about the person that they would not remove from the body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7, he says, not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforting you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning. You remember in 1 Corinthians, they refused to mourn and put that person out of the church that was guilty. You remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? And now, he says, in 1 Corinthians 5, he condemned them because they would not put that person out of the body. Now, as he's writing the second epistle, he's saying, I'm thankful that you have rather mourned. He says, you have mourned your fervent mind toward me so that I rejoice the more. You see, he had joy on top of joy, didn't he? He had comfort by Titus coming. He had comfort because Titus was full of comfort. And he had comfort because of the words that Titus brought to him about the church at Corinth. In verse 8 he says, for though I made you sorry with a letter. What letter had Paul made them sorry with? 1 Corinthians, though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle that made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, and what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Do you remember what Paul had told them now to do in the second chapter? It told them to take that person back because there had been, and I don't know how much time there was between the first epistle and second epistle, but time had passed and the man had sorrowed greatly, even unto death. And then in the second epistle, Paul tells them in chapter 2, he tells them to receive that one back into the body that had to be put out. He says in verse 12, he says, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were, what's the next word there? Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Do you see what this whole epistle is about? It's about comforting. Now, did Paul speak some words of comfort in 1 Corinthians? Did he speak some words of comfort? are they pretty rare in 1 Corinthians. Most of 1 Corinthians, he rebuked them for divisions and schisms in the body. He rebuked them for one problem after another. But in the second epistle, he's writing and he's thanking God for the comfort he has in seeing the church of God at Corinth beginning to function in a way that would please the Lord. There's great joy. The Bible says there's great joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And there ought to be great joy in the church when a sinner repents. Go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 just to show you this is the theme throughout 2 Corinthians, the theme of comfort and comforting us, comforting one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11, the Word of God says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, the Word of God says, finally, what did he talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? What did he talk about there? What was the main subject? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7, what was the subject 10 times? Comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, what was the main subject mentioned there about 6 times? Comfort. Now we come to the end of the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. The Word of God says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort. Is it important for the church to be of good comfort? Is it important for the church to comfort one another? Have you ever needed comforting? Is there anybody here, if you've ever needed comforting, if you've ever felt a need to be comforted, hold up your hand. I want anybody here to give me an example of a time in your life that you have felt a need to be comforted. A need to be comforted. Okay? That's a time that we need comforting, is when a loved one dies. Job experienced that, didn't he? Job lost all 10 of his children. Did Job need comforting? And what a marvelous thing it is. If you were to go home and read the book of Job, and read especially Job chapter 2 and verse 11, the Word of God says that Job's three friends came to, what did they come to do? They came to comfort him in the death of his children, in the loss of his possessions. They went. They made an appointment and they went there and they went to comfort him, and comfort him they did. As long as they sat there with him, I believe he got great comfort from his friends just doing what? What did Paul get joy from Titus first? Just him what? Just by his coming. And I think the friends of Job, just by their coming, they brought much joy. I know in my experience, in the death of my daddy and the death of my son, I know that on those two major occasions in my life, that nobody knows, unless you've experienced when you lost a son or you lost your daddy. And I hope when my mama dies, if I outlive her, you know what I want you to do? You know what I want you to do? I want you to come. Now I can get comfort. You don't have to say anything. In fact, I probably prefer that you not say anything. You know why? Well, I do want you to say something, but you can get in trouble saying something. Job's friends that came to him, just their coming brought him comfort. But in Job, later in the book of Job, I don't remember the exact verse. Job chapter 16, I think, in verse 2. Job said to his friends, it wasn't Job 16, it is Job 16, but he says to his friends, he says, ye are all miserable comforters. Now, they came to comfort him. But listen, brethren, if you go home and look at all those things, those friends, finally, when they started talking, and all the things they said, they were miserable comforters. He said, miserable comforters are ye all. Now, were they comforters? But they were miserable comforters. Were they good comforters for a while? I want you to remember this. You can be a good comforter that turns into a miserable comforter. And usually it's too much talking that turns you from a good comforter to a miserable comforter. But at the end of the book of Job, what did he have to do? He had to pray for those miserable comforters. And then when God blessed Job to pray for those comforters, then the Word of God tells us that God turned everything around in Job's life, and he was blessed with much more than he had to begin with. I just want you to remember that when you have the death of a loved one, or when you have sickness in your household, or when you have financial trouble. I'm going to role play right here. Brother Tandy, we're going to suppose that you and Sister Gail are out of money completely. You lose your house. You lose everything you've got. You have no money in the bank. And you come to me and you say, Brother Billy, we're in a mess. We're out of money. And I say to you, I'm going to put my arm around you, Brother Tandy, and we're going to pray about this. We love you. And we're just going to pray for you. Am I comforting you when you leave and all I've done is pray for you, when you've got needs that I haven't tried to meet those needs at all and help you in any way? You know what I am? If all I do is pray for you, if I've got something to help you with and I don't help you, what am I? I am a miserable comforter. Don't just pray for people when they have needs, but do something to help them. That's what Matthew 25 is all about. Did you know if you were to go home and read Matthew 25, you remember, let's turn there for just a moment. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. The Word of God talks about a lot of things that individuals did that pleased the Lord. And I believe that as I studied and thought about comforting, I thought, every one of these things is comforting. The word comfort is not used in Matthew 25, 34 through 40. The word comfort is not there. But I believe that every single action that is under consideration, that Jesus blessed these people because of their actions, I believe every one of these actions is a way that we can comfort other people. Watch this. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, the scripture says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Is there a period at the end of that verse? No, there's a colon. He explains why they were going to inherit the kingdom. He says, For I was in hungered, and ye gave me meat. Is that comforting? Is that comforting? That's a way to comfort. What we're trying to talk about tonight is the fact that we need to comfort one another with the same comfort wherewith we have been comforted. Have you ever needed financial help and God just provided it for you some way? Have you ever needed food and God just provided it for you some way? There have been several times in my life that I've been hungry and I needed food and God provided that food. But He has never done it for me like He did for Elijah by sending a raven. He's never done that to me, but He's always worked through His people to provide and help. So He says, I was in hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. Have you ever been very, very thirsty and someone gave you a glass of water? It certainly is comforting. That water can comfort you. I was a stranger and you took me in. Have you ever been a stranger? Have you ever been afraid to go into a church building because you were a stranger there? Isn't it a blessing, Sister Lane? Do you remember the first time that you came here? What was it that you felt when you came here? Did you feel a little scared about coming? Very much afraid. But what settled you down? Nina, okay. Sister Anna calls her mama. You call her Nina? That's right. Do you see the comfort? Look at that comfort over there. Do you see that? Do you see that? I'll tell you, that's as pretty a picture of comfort as you'll ever find on the face of this earth. Everybody look up there on that second row. Do you see that comfort? Now that's wonderful, isn't it? And did you know there are thousands of more just like Anna who need to be comforted? Jesus said that we're supposed to be comforting them. I was in the hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I'm going to say one more time. I know I've said it 10,000 times probably in my ministry here. But failure to take people into our homes is one of the most, it's one of the biggest problems that we all have. We don't want to take people into our homes. Now, what's going to happen to the next group of people? We're talking about the people that entered the kingdom because they did take people into their homes. What happened to those that did not take people into their homes. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Well, let me explain why I didn't take you in. I've got 10,000 reasons not to take in strangers. You can come up with all the reasons you want to. Jesus says, I was a stranger and ye took me not in. And he says to those who did not take in strangers, he said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There are serious consequences that come to the people of God who are not going to comfort other people by giving them meat, giving them drink, taking them in. He says, I was naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, etc.? And he says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Are there many, many children of God that you can go and comfort this coming week? I believe that every person in this building could go comfort at least 25 people this coming week. And I want you to remember this. If you ever need comforting, I want you to remember this. And you're going to need comforting in your life. Remember that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if we're not concerned about all these people that need comforting, David says in Psalm 69, I believe, in one of the Psalms, David cried out to God and said, I needed comforters and I found none that comforted me. Do you think a lot of other people today could say those same words? I needed comforters and there was no one who came to comfort me. Has God comforted you? Brother Neil mentioned in death. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 says, what does it talk about there? You're familiar with it. 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to just tell you the close of it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see? And that's talking about in the hour of death of someone. Are there words that you can give, words of comfort that are good words of comfort? They come right out of the Word of God. Go with me in closing, please, to 2 Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Word of God says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. What has he done? What has God done for us? He has loved us. He has loved us. Now, if God's loved us, what are we supposed to do to one another? Love one another. Who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. What does the word consolation mean? Comfort. He's given us love and he has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. May he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now listen carefully. I pray tonight that God will help you to be established in every good word that will comfort other people. And in every good work that will comfort other people. Because there are many good words that will bring comfort, and there are many good works that will bring comfort. May God help us to be established in every good word and in every good work is my prayer for Christ's sake.